Amen. Thank you, Bethany. Appreciate that. In your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll let you get there, and then if you would, if you want to keep a marker there or your finger or however you want to do it, but then we're also going to look at one verse, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. If Pastor Chris wants to talk about Christmas in July, it's okay. The Hallmark Channel runs Christmas in July movies, and we don't have a problem with that. So it's okay. And I can't wait to see a 55 Chevy in here. That I can't wait. So if you have one of those, somehow we'll get it through those doors. That'd be really cool. But I'm not trying to get ahead of anything. They probably don't want a 55 Chevy. But if you want it out of your garage, get it to mine. We can work things out. As Bethany was singing about love, it really goes along with our theme tonight. We're going to be talking about, of course, Pastor's been preaching on the gospel, Pastor Chris, this morning. And by the way, I've been assured that this has been cleaned and changed from this morning. So I want to make sure, and because I may end up using that in a little bit. But Brother Tim, that's his ministry, and he guaranteed me that it was taken care of and there were no germs, slobber marks, or anything like that on that glass, so I'm thankful for that. But as Bethany was singing about God's love, Pastor's been preaching about the gospel, Pastor Chris, this morning in the book of John and the gospel. As you read through this portion of Scripture, and we're going to do that, I know it'll be a little longer read than normal for message, but I do want to touch, really try to hit most of these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses actually 1 through 16. But in the middle of it twice, Paul, as he's writing to young Timothy, mentions the gospel. And this relationship is all about the gospel. Our relationships in this room are all about the gospel. And I'm going to come down here, and hopefully I'm not going to get a little bit of a back feed as I do, but try to illustrate this point just a little bit. I'm going to come down. Brother Brian Banks doesn't know I'm about to do this, and he just looked at me like, what are you doing? But I'm going to ask him a couple questions. Brother Brian, where'd you grow up? Brooklyn, Queens, New York, okay? And here he sits, Indianapolis, Indiana, Cross Point Baptist Church. Would you say Eric Kettner's a good friend? Eric Kettner, is he a good friend? Okay. Eric Kettner, where'd you grow up? Okay, North Carolina. Okay, North Carolina, New York, I'm not the best at geography, but they're not really close. Did you guys have a prior relationship to Cross Point Baptist Church? No. What makes their friendship? Well, there's association. They ended up moving up here. He's on staff and as our maintenance man, and because of that, there's relationship. But I can tell you what's deeper than that. It's the gospel. If it wasn't for the gospel of Jesus Christ, there would be no relationship. There'd be no human relationship here. If it wasn't for the gospel of Jesus Christ, most of us in this room would not have a relationship with one another. Now, there are a few people in here. There's probably 9 people in this room, okay, that I would have a relationship with because they're a family. But outside of that, chances are nobody in this room, if we lived in another place, we would not have a relationship. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ has brought us together. And that's the emphasis, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. And you can look at your relationships. I know there's family here. I know there's people that you've worked together. Maybe some of you have witnessed to, and you brought them in to the fold of Christ through your witness, through your testifying, through leading them to Jesus, through nurturing them through Scripture. But for the most part, if it wasn't for the gospel, we would not be standing here, or you would not be sitting there tonight. And so for a few minutes, if we can have that in our minds and constantly thinking how vital and important, here we have a missionary to the Philippines, from the Philippines. If it wasn't for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would not have met him this morning. It is the relationship through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think so many times as believers, we take our Christian brothers and sisters for granted. And I want us tonight to look at Paul's relationship with Timothy and look at their relationship, look at their friendship and what brought it together and what kept it going. And then the cry out from Paul, Timothy, please come. Bring John Mark with you. We need the ministry to continue. And so we're going to get a glimpse tonight of the emotional, caring, loving side of the Apostle Paul, who once stood and watched Christians stoned and relished in that fact. And now his love, as God has, because of the gospel, changed his life, God has changed his heart and his soul, and now his relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ, Priscilla and Aquila, on and on, and he mentioned so many other believers, and tonight we're just going to look at Timothy. And as in our focal point time, we're talking about relationships, and a couple of the sessions have to do with relationships with other people. And I believe in Christianity, our relationships are vital. They're important. We need each other. Yes, we need God. We need the gospel. We need the word of God. But we need each other as believers. There are, sad to say, there are people that have closer ties and relationships with friends, if you will, in the world. And that not ought so to be. We ought to have a relationship and a bond through the shed blood of Jesus Christ like none other. And so I would like tonight to read 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read these verses, and we'll emphasize a few things, and then I want to go to Proverbs 17:17, and then we'll make some points tonight along the way. But a gospel relationship, how can we have that, and why does that exist, and what can we do to nurture that? And really, we're going to look at tonight, this portion of Scripture is going to be an example. There are going to be some points I think will bring out some practical ways in which we can enhance our love and our relationship with each other. And we know there are some churches Paul even wrote to, that they were at odds. There was fightings, there was factions, there was wars, there was difficulties within the ranks of Christianity. And that ought not to be. And so let me read and follow along, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Of course, we know that he was not his physical son, but in the faith, brought him, nurtured him along in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll talk about those words as he wishes grace, mercy, and peace upon him. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions, there it is, of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good things which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Verses 15 and 16, I will allude to at the very end. We won't go into depth because there's two opposite relationships. There's relationship mentioned of two people that left him, that forsook him. They did not represent what Paul was going to talk to us about tonight. They did not represent the true love of Jesus Christ in a relationship and a true friendship. And then the last person mentioned in verse 16, that's a whole message in itself, and that is Onesiphorus. And how Onesiphorus, in his Paul's bonds and chains, he sought him out and he found him and he ministered to him. And Paul mentions that. And what a great character. And again, we see the love, not just of Paul to Onesiphorus, but the love of Onesiphorus to Paul. So we really want to have time to mention those, because I want to focus tonight. We want to look at that relationship. Now, before we get into this, Proverbs 17, verse 17, laying some groundwork. Proverbs 17, 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A verse that many of you know. In fact, some of you probably even quote this or quote it to your children. A friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That's an associate. That's a companion. A friend loveth at all times. A neighbor, if you will, could be interpreted that way. Loveth at all time, has affection for at all times. And a brother, a kindred, somebody that is a brother. And we would say brothers and sisters. We could use that tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends will go so far, but a true brother will go further. Well, you say, my brother has to go further. He's blood. No, brother doesn't necessarily have to. In fact, there are people, you can have blood relationships, but they don't love you like either other believers do. And sad to say, that's true. Especially if you have a human brother or sister and they don't know Christ, they don't understand this bond that we're going to look at tonight. But a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A brother is sent in this world that he might comfort and relieve his brother of an adversity. And that's the role of you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we carry the burdens of other people, that we lift up others as Paul, we're going to see the example, lifted up Timothy in prayer. Timothy went to him, even in his bonds and his chains, was willing to do. And Paul is warning him of some things and some apostasy. Why is that? Because he really, truly loved them. See, a true brother doesn't want any harm or injury come to another person, another brother or sister in Christ. It would be sad if some Christian were warped in their mind and would want evil to come to another person or another Christian. Wouldn't that be awful? Or maybe want to exceed or succeed and wish or hope that somebody else wouldn't or somebody else's child wouldn't, so their child could gain a position. And I know it sounds far-fetched, but I'm going to tell you, even in the Christian world, that's possible. People can be mean, they can be cruel, they can be unkind. We live in a mean, hateful world. And so there's no place for that in Christianity. There should not be. It can be read this way to help us understand. A friend that loves at all times is born. That is, he becomes a brother in adversity. You know who your real friends are? Those that come to your university, right? You know you're a true friend when somebody gives you a call and says, hey, I need some help. Now, friendship is not about using people. We understand that. We kind of get confused as Christians because sometimes the world, doesn't the world use people? That's not true love. We don't use people, but we do know there are people that we can call on when things aren't going well. There's a tragedy. There's a difficulty. There's a need. There's a death. There's a serious health issue. What do? We call somebody up and say, hey, can you please pray? And you say, you know, I don't need the details, but I will pray. See, that's a brother. A brother lives for adversity. A friend is loving at all times and becomes a true brother in times of trouble. So let me ask you tonight, are you a true brother or sister of Jesus Christ? Or are you just looking for those that will be your friend in trouble? Or are you a person that others can come to at a difficult time and a difficult situation, and you will do what you can to aid them, to assist them, to help them, to love them, to pray for them? And we tonight will see the example that is set before us. First of all, we're going to begin with number one, the attachment of friendship. Look at verse 2, 2 Timothy, back to chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to see this attachment. Paul says to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. He says, dearly beloved, when true salvation in Christ leads a person to the converting as Timothy was converted to Christ. We don't know exactly where. We don't know if Paul led him to Christ. We know he was nurtured and trained by his grandmother and mother, and we'll look at that. But somewhere, Paul had a huge impact on his life, on Timothy's life. And this bond is formed. There's this affection, this union, this bond that is formed. He says, my own son in the faith. He says, my dearly beloved son. In other words, son in the faith of the gospel. You are my son. I don't have a son, but I am a son. There are times my dad, by the way, they're back. My dad, he would talk to me as only a dad can talk to a son. Sometimes stern, yet loving, caring. There's that bond. There's a bond, a special bond between a mother and a daughter. There's a bond. He says, my beloved, my precious son. By the way, we have that between God and Jesus Christ, don't we? My beloved son, my only begotten son. So we see, first of all, there's a deep affection rooted in Jesus Christ. And we see that by these three words he says to him. He says, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, that gratification, that grace, that graciousness. I give to you, if I could give you all that I could, it liberally, I would make sure that you could have it all. I want to be gracious to you. Gracious in kindness, gracious in friendship, gracious in relationship, gracious in how you respond to another person or another Christian. We all have difficult days, or bad days we would say, but we still have to be gracious in our response. And Paul, he is writing from prison. He is near death. Paul's pretty certain this is Paul's second imprisonment in Rome. Very close to death. I'd be feeling pretty sorry for myself. I'd be seeing the end is near. I don't know how you handle difficulties or hurts or pains or headaches or, splinters in your finger, whatever it is. We all have, you know, and we all have a tendency, whatever it is, to kind of get a little introspect and say, oh, poor me and woe is me. And here Paul knows his end is near. And what does he do? He reaches out. And he shows graciousness. He says, grace be to you. It's not about Paul. True relationship, true friendship is not about ourselves. It's about the one we love and the one we care for. And that's the example of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Ultimate sacrifice. So he says, grace. And then he says, mercy. Any compassion I can give to you, I want to give to you. And then peace, prosperity, quietness, rest. Hey, Timothy, I wish nothing but rest, quietness, and peace in your life. Because by the way, Timothy, you're going to need it because there's coming persecution. And the reason I know that, because I'm on the chopping block, literally. And I know my life will be taken, and you need to keep preaching the word. That's going to come out. You need to keep sharing the gospel. Why? Because the time's come. The time is coming where there will be persecution. And so he says, find peace. So he shows his affection through grace, mercy, and peace. And then look at verse number 3. We see a devoted commitment. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience. In other words, ever I'm aiming ever to please him, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer night and day. Wow. How are you doing praying? Brothers, how you doing praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ? How you doing praying for your own family? See, when we lose the effectual fervent prayer, we lose it. We don't lose it just for Christian friendships. We lose it for ourselves. We lose it for our relationships, our family. So tonight, maybe the challenge to you is just in the area of just prayer in general. But this commitment, I thank God whom I serve. I mention thee, I have remembrance of thee always, of thee in my prayers, night and day. Now we know it didn't mean that he would walk around only praying for Timothy, but God had put the burden of Timothy on the heart of Paul, and he was mindful of him and always would go to God repeatedly in prayer for him. Do we pray for others? Brotherly love will cause us to do that, cause us to pray. See, it brings us to that second greatest commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what draws us to that. Even through a lapse of time and absences, they were apart and they were away, and their fondness for each other. And Paul, as far as he was away, still had a desire, yes, to see him, and we'll see that, but to love him and to pray for him. He is a burden upon his soul. And then we see not only a deep affection and a deep or a devoted commitment, but a desired fellowship. He says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I want to see you again. Now it says being mindful of your tears. There's some debate whether it's talking about tears when they departed or tears because you know he's burdened and concerned for Paul. We don't exactly know, but we know that there were some tears shed somehow either in their parting or in their concern for one another. When someone else hurts, you hurt too. If your brother, when your brother or sister in Christ hurts, people go through a tragedy or a loss or a death, other people in Jesus Christ, there are people in this room, you've shed tears for other people. You shed tears because they're crying. You know, little children are like that. They see their mommy or daddy crying and they cry. They don't know why they're crying, but they cry along. If mom's hurting, I'm hurting. And the brothers and sisters of Christ, it ought to be that way. If somebody's hurting through a difficult time or tragedy or loss or a separation or relational issues, hey, we can hurt right along with them. We can shed tears for them and shed tears with them. It's an okay thing. It's not a drama thing. It's not we're trying to draw attention to ourselves. We truly are burdened deep within our soul. Jesus Christ cried for friends, did not he? Relationships. The Lazarus, Mary, Martha, that whole situation, there were tears shed on behalf of Jesus Christ. His compassion, and here we see Paul's compassion, and he is saying, Timothy, I remember being mindful of your tears, but I want to be filled with joy, or to be filled with joy. Somehow a deep impression was made deep in Timothy's heart on this relationship. We see here that this desired fellowship, there was a longing. Paul benefited from Timothy. Let me ask you this. Are there Christians that benefit from you and your ministry? Are there people that benefit? Are you a benefit to them? Paul and Timothy, they were beneficial to each other. Paul benefited from Timothy, not just because he was a great preacher, not just because he showed up on time, not just because he shared the gospel with other people, no, because he personally ministered to his soul. He benefited from Timothy. There was a longing. We also see there's a weeping. It was caused by the separation. And then there was a joy, the hope of seeing Timothy again. Oh, I can't wait. Every one of us in here somehow has had a reunion, haven't we, with someone? The Bradleys can't wait to see Bailey again face to face, right? Are the Bradleys, they're here. I saw them, yeah. That'd be a pretty cool reunion, won't it? Oh, yeah. Bailey's overseas. He's in the service. Oh, man. What a hug fest. Some of you have experienced those things. Kids go away to college. I know it's just a few months, but it's like forever, right? And they come home, and man, for the first night, nobody goes to bed. You just talk about the whole semester on one encapsulated nutshell. Isn't that great? You know, most of you know what I'm talking about. Why? There's that union that brings you back together. Even when you go away just for a week or so on a vacation, it's always good to get home and to see family and to see friends. Why is that? There's a bond. It's the hope of seeing them again, and there's a joy. And Paul says, I can't wait. I want this joy. Then we see our second point tonight, the accolades of friendship. Look at verse 5. The compliment, or if you will, the accolades of friendship. When I call to remember thy unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Remember there was a time And there are those that said, hey, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And they're all worried about who is going to be the better apostle and who is teaching them more and who they're learning more. That wasn't Paul's point here at all. Look what he does. It didn't matter how Timothy came to Christ. What does he do here? Listen to the accolades. Listen to the applause that he gives. He said, by the way, I want to congratulate grandma and your mom. Their unfeigned faith. That means their uncolored or non-disguised faith. It was very clear where Eunice and Lois were. It was very clear that they had an uncolored or a non-disguised faith. As Pastor would say, they were real Christians. And Paul is commending him. Paul's not worried about, well, you know, I've spent more time in God's word than your mom and your grandma. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? But can I tell you, in Christianity, there's professional Christianity jealousy. Did you know that? It's a weird thing. Well, I led them to the Lord. Well, no, I led them to the Lord. Well, I picked them up and drove them to church. Well, come on. Is that really important? No. But our selfishness gets in the way, and Paul is commending in his testimony of Christ and his family, says, I'm so proud of you, Timothy. I'm so proud of your family. And we see number three, the arousal of friendship, the encouragement of friendship. Look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of the hands. By the way, nowhere in here does Paul say, hey, Timothy, you better tone it down. I think you're getting a little better preacher than me. Now, I think you're getting a little too popular, a little too famous. Uh-uh. By the way, there's no jealousy in Christianity in the gospel. There ought not to be. So he stirs up this gift. I want you to preach. I want you to grow. This gift is represented in the notion, the idea of fire, to stir up the gift, to let it burn that's in you. It needs to be stirred up. Nothing beats a good bonfire. Roasting hot dogs and then sticky marshmallows and putting some chocolate and some graham crackers and having some s'mores. It's great, isn't it? But what do you want to do? You want to make sure it stays stoked hot. So it's got to be stirred. And that's the picture here. It's got to be stirred. So how does he do that? There's five just thoughts that comes out what Paul says. Real quick, we look at them. And this is real practical tonight in how we can nurture relationships and friendships. How we can encourage and arouse those and encourage those friendships. Support your friends, letter A, in their gifts and abilities. If your friend, if your brother or sister in Christ has a gift and ability, support them in that. Encourage them in that. Parents, if your child has a gift or ability that they want to serve the Lord in, encourage them in that gift. Encourage them in that ability. Letter B, enhance their gift and abilities. Put things in front of them or with them. Give them opportunities to encourage. There's no place, like I already said, for jealousies, nor is there place to take the place of the Holy Spirit in a person's life and say, well, I don't think that's where you best fit. Let the Holy Spirit work that out in their life. Support them in their gifts and abilities. Enhance their gifts and abilities. Letter C, put your blessings on their endeavors. Man, I'm praying for you. And I want the best in your life. Maybe it's a child going off to college. Don't discourage them. Well, you know, I think you ought to, and then you give your opinion of what they ought to do and what they ought to study. That's not my place. That's the Holy Spirit's place in their life, to guide them and to direct them, to work in their life, and us not to become stumbling blocks. I think you ought to do this or go into that. You're going to make a lot more money than if you... You know what? That's not my place. That's not your place. So what do? We encourage, put your blessing on their endeavors. It may not be a young person, maybe an older person, a person that says, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about going to church or ministering and serving in a certain area. So, oh, well, you don't want to do that. That'll make me look bad. No. Encourage somebody in their endeavors, in their ministry, in their service. Letter D, do nothing to hold them back from service. Don't do anything. And Paul, that is his point here. Timothy, go! Timothy, I encourage you. Timothy, you're such an encouragement to me, and I want you to be encouragement to others. Stir up the gift, and then help them through their weakness. Because, he says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love It's on mine. Don't be afraid, Timothy. I know this is treacherous times. These are dangerous times. Lives are going to be taken. I know there are people that are fading away and falling away, Timothy. I've experienced that. Timothy, I know there's apostasy being taught. I know there's people in churches that are teaching false truth. Don't give up, Timothy. You be strong here. Help them through weaknesses, not just theirs, but others too. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives us the spirit of power. Why? To encounter enemies that we're going to face. Every one of us this week are going to face. We do every day. We face the enemy, Satan. But we're going to face the enemy, Satan, in so many different ways this week. Beware. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he gives us the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to encounter these enemies with bravery. Then God gives a spirit of love, gives a spirit of love to God himself, and he gives a spirit of love to each other, to mankind. And then God gives us a sound mind, a serious mind filled with prudence and cautiousness, caution, discretion. We would say discernment. Proverbs would call it discretion. We'd call it discernment. And that brings us to point number four. So three, we have the arousal, encouragement of friendship, and then we have the admonishment. Look at verse number 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, not of me, his prisoner, but the partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed or afraid to live your testimony. Don't be frightened. Don't be afraid to live your testimony. There are people in this room that were brought to Christ because of the testimony of other people in this room. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Praise God for that. That somebody lived a testimony before you and wasn't ashamed. Letter B, don't be ashamed or afraid to live your testimony. Letter B, be prepared to face persecution. And Paul said, you're going to face it. It's coming. And if you at all are paying attention to the world around us, persecution is well on its way. And to be honest, it's here. There are persecuting times, persecution that comes. There are stands that we make or that we're going to have to make. And some of you even struggle within your own families and your own homes. And you've already seen it. Some of you, when you got saved, maybe out of religion, if we can say it that way, there was a persecution. There was a turning away from friends and family in many cases. But yet you knew the working of the Holy Spirit in your own life, and that wasn't going to change you because you did not live with the power of fear. Be prepared to face persecution. He was telling Timothy, you're going to face it. And then in verse 9, recognize the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So where's this power of God? What is it? And he real quick, he uses different phrases. This power comes through salvation. It's your calling. It's your purpose or God's will. It's seen through grace. It's seen through the person of Jesus Christ. It abolished the second death. While the power to take away, the power that we can spend eternity everlasting with Jesus Christ, that death is taken away. Oh, we're physically going to die. But our soul, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, because of the gospel, our soul will reside forever with Jesus Christ, will reside in heaven. Life through, or light through, the gospel. And then letter D, we follow those that follow Christ. Paul says, follow my example. It seems today that we are easily drawn away from godly examples. Not that there are not godly examples. There are wonderful godly examples. In this room, in our ministry, in our church here, there are great godly examples. But because our eyes and our minds are overwhelmed with this world and we are blinded by Satan and his system, we very seldom look to follow those who follow Christ. And let me encourage you as parents, Help your children with this. There are heroes of faith. There are heroes, there are people in this room that have walked in a relationship with God that it would be a wonderful thing if your children emulated. Now, there are people in this room, they're not going to make millions and billions of dollars playing a sport. They're not going to pump their chest every time they do something that looks really cool. They're not going to get an incredible account with some shoe company. Can I tell you what? Neither did Paul. I'm afraid if Paul walked today, there are people in this room, not quite cool enough. He's not quite my cup of tea. He preaches a little long. He yells a little too much. What an example. And Paul says, Timothy, you be that example. You follow now, you also be an example, but also I'm willing to be that example. And this is, Paul's not saying, hey, I'm a great example. Paul's saying, by the grace of God, I'm an example. And I'm an example you followed to the best of your ability because I will not let you down because I've been the other side. And I'm going to do my best to live the example. What a response. You know, we have Christians that don't want to be an example. Don't follow me because they know the sin in their own life and they know the problems that they have. They don't want anybody to look up to them. Listen, that is a challenge to us. We walk Christ-like, and then we encourage others to come behind us. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Who was he? He was a preacher. He was an apostle. He was a teacher. He suffered. He said, I suffer on account of my purpose to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know who I have believed. I trust. I have my confidence. Whether it meant his life or his soul or the gospel, pretty clear, studying this out, that it means the gospel. I put my confidence, my trust in the gospel. I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I've committed unto him against that day. In letter E, our pattern. Pattern your ministry after the word of God or after doctrine. Look at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Wish we had time to talk about doctrine. We don't like discussing it because it sounds like it's a difficult word. It's not. It's the truth. It's the basis of what we believe. It's the doctrinal truths, whether it's Christ himself in Christology, whether it's the doctrine of God himself, theology, whether it's angelology, bibliology, whether it's the doctrine of ecclesiology, the church. It doesn't matter. It's the truth. And Paul says, I want to be the pattern of the truth of the word of God. Hold fast the form of sound words. Timothy, don't let go. If you and I let go, then who will hold on? We have to stand strong and firm. And the young people in here, let me challenge you. That's why you need to know, not just know truth, but know truth and apply it to your life. Make God's word real. And then lastly, under this point, be sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So Paul admonishes Timothy, and he does this all because he loves him. And he does this all because he's a true friend. True friends tell us straight up. Can I tell you, when a true friend tells you straight up, it takes a true friend to take it. Doesn't it? It's not always easy. We are not fans of criticism. We are fans of pride. We heard a lot about that Tuesday night. We would rather hear somebody say, hey, good job, than, hey, by the way. And here Paul is being straight up friend and honest with Timothy. And we know, what does Timothy? He takes this to heart. Perfect? No. but a desire to stand firm in the pulpit and preach the truth through heresy, through people fading away. And that would bring us, and we don't have time for it, number five was the abandonment of assumed friendship. And then number six would have been the assistance of real friendship too. There's abandonment. There's people. You ever wonder, hey, where's brother and sister so-and-so? Where are those people that used to teach? Where's those people that used to be involved in church? Where are those people? They've abandoned. So we have responsibility to each other, to love each other, pray for each other, uphold one another. Let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and our lives. Even if it's just a matter, pray for each other. Listen, we need it. Our families need it. Our pastors, we need it. We're so thankful. We have people coming. By the way, I prayed for you today. I get texts. I prayed for you today. Oh, thank you. I need it. I need it. We all need it. We need each other. There are people in this room, you may think you need the world. No, you don't. You need Christ. You need the truth. You need brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ. You don't understand. You're not a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe tonight's just simply, you know what? I need to have a relationship with God. I need to accept Jesus Christ, his shed blood at Calvary's cross, for eternal life, for my salvation. Then you'll understand the relationship through Jesus Christ. You can understand this type of friendship. If tonight that's your heart's desire, if you've never known Christ as your Savior, please come forward. Somebody can take the Word of God and show you. Maybe tonight as Christians, it's just saying, you know what? There's some great patterns of friendship that I think I can apply to my life. Maybe it's just talking to God in your seat tonight. Maybe it's coming forward. Maybe it's grabbing a friend and say, you know what? I should be praying for you, and I haven't been like I should be. Let's go pray together. Why not start that tonight? Or give them a call or shoot them a text tonight and say, I want you to know I'm going to start praying for you better than I have been. We all hurt. We all have needs. There are people in this room that have needs that nobody ever knows. You know why? They take them to God. Because what do? We cast our care on him because he cares for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with letting other people know. But I'll tell you, when God answers your prayer and he's the only one that knew it, you know who answered that prayer. You know God answered that prayer. And praise God for those that you know needs and burdens. And there's times you just have this thought that, you know what, I'm just going to pray for brother and sister, so-and-so, and Holy Spirit puts that in your heart. Then do that. Then do that. Let's pray.